Blog Talk Radio.
They're the best there is in the world of arm wrestling.
When I get to the table, that person, I don't care who they are, they're my mortal enemy.
If I win, it's just because I wanted to be the best one time in my life. My whole body is an engine. This is a fire plug, and I'm going to light him up.
Former bodybuilder, and now, up-and-coming arm wrestling sensation with a show that is over the top. Firing up the mic, the host of Arm Wrestling Nation Radio, here is Craig Souvenir.
Hey, what's up, arm wrestling fans? Welcome to another episode of Arm Wrestling Nation Radio. Real excited about this show tonight. We've got Corey the Flash Miller on with the big PAL event coming up, man. It's going to be exciting this Sunday, or Saturday, I should say. So I'm really excited about that. I want to welcome back on Arm Wrestle Nation Radio, my co-host, Albert Kozar. What's up, Albert?
Hey, Craig. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, man. I'm doing great, brother. Got an exciting show. We got an exciting show lined up. And, man, I got a special surprise. But before we get into that, I want to just to see how your weekend, man. I know you and your wife celebrate your anniversary. I saw some pictures. You guys look like you had a great time. How was the weekend?
Yeah, it was great. You know, anytime you get to spend quality time with the family, that's priceless. We went to Savannah, Georgia. What a beautiful town.
Wow.
Never had the chance to go to that historic part of the town before. And if anybody is in the area or if anybody is planning to visit Georgia, I definitely suggest, you know, having a pit stop in Savannah, historic downtown. That's really something.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff. I never got to make it out there, but everybody says if you go to Georgia, go to Savannah. So that's the place to be. We had a tournament here in Daytona for like Oktoberfest. I heard it was a good showing. Good showing. It had like a little over 100 competitors. I wasn't able to be there either. I had a mentoring program that I belonged to. It was our big, huge weekend out at the detention center. So I missed it, but I guess saw some highlights, Brandon Morrison and Max Tovin, super match, got a little intense at the end there, Brandon winning that, and big surprise, Herbie Walker beating Stump 3-0, man. I was really surprised
really,
by that. I know Stump didn't pull in the tournament. I haven't really talked to him since then. I'm not taking anything away from Herbie, but I know he had some, you know, war with Dan and Shaw, which was a great matchup. They were back and forth. But I'm not sure if Stump was 100% or not, whatever. But he showed up, pulled, refereed. So big hats off to Herbie for doing well there. I know Chuck won the Supers right-handed. Dickie looked unstoppable at 195. And we had another guy show up. I forget his name, but I guess he's a Brazilian guy. He used to be a world champion. Do you know him, Elper?
No, never met him.
So I guess he's down in my
there,
he's from my old stomping grounds down in Vero, so he's back. So another guy pulling in the 220 class. So real exciting. I'm real excited about our event coming up, November 22nd, WAL, Florida State Championships. It's on a Sunday. Looking forward to that. And I'm excited. You know, a lot of these events are on Sundays, these championships. I know I was talking to Daniel Worley and Jonathan Parsons. They were supposed to go up to the Alabama event. They ended up going up on leaving Friday night, and then they ended up finding out that the event was Sunday. So they ended up driving all the way to Alabama on Saturday and turning around, so they didn't get to compete. That looked like a great event. Josh Bishop, the Bishop brothers, you know, hosted that. Just another good event. I got to give a big shout out to my buddy Nate Adams, man. Phenomenal this weekend up there. putting Travis Badgen down twice left-handed, which has been pretty impressive. And I've been, you know, back and forth with Nathan Adams for ever since I started arm wrestling. Man, he's just been one of those great guys. But, man, what a monster this guy is becoming. And just excited to see him doing so well. But, you know.
Is this the tournament where Rombat got beaten at 220? Because I read something on Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
And he was cutting weights.
Yeah.
And he did 220 and got beaten, I think, at second place.
Oh, did
he? I don't know who beat him. I don't know which tournament he's talking about.
Well, they... I don't know if he pulled in the... I know they have their event coming up here this weekend in Georgia, the WAL Georgia State one. It's coming up on the 24th. So I'm not sure. Maybe he pulled in... in Alabama, who's going
to
say.
Yeah, so but we need to get Josh here, man. I mean, he is the one who's keeping a track, you know, of what's going on in United States arm wrestling better than anybody.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. We get Josh back on the show. But I got a special surprise, man. I was hanging out this afternoon, and I saw that Alan Ford just arrived at the PAL headquarters, and I was like, you know what? I got Herman Stevens hopefully coming on next week. And I was like, you know what? Alan's all happy. He's at the PAL headquarters. I said, you know what? Let me see if I can grab an interview with him real quick. He was real busy. He didn't have a package to call America. So Igor lent him his phone, and we had a nice little interview. I want to play it for you guys. So just hang tight.
Cool.
And listen to Alan Ford talking about PAL Vendetta, excited, and let's take it away. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. I got a huge surprise. I got the hitman, Alan Ford, on the line. And, Alan, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, man. And we haven't spoken in a few months, but I know you've been busy. Huge event. You're chilling in Vegas at the PAL headquarters. What's going through your mind, man? You got a huge matchup with Herman Stevens, Vendetta in Vegas, Arm Fighter 44. I mean, how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm so pumped. I kind of wish I wasn't in Vegas this early. It just prolongs my pumped feeling. You know, I'm gonna be all wound up all week because I don't actually compete until Saturday.
So, is that a disadvantage for you, man, being excited like this, being away from, you know, your family and home and in Vegas? I mean, or are you able to kind of, you know, maybe, you know, enjoy the moment? I know you guys do a lot of promotional stuff going on with Igor, and you get to maybe do some sightseeing, maybe take your mind off the match a little bit.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty good at that now. You know, with the experience I've had over the years, I've been in a situation where, you know, even at a tournament, I start getting pumped up just when I arrive and the weigh-ins and stuff. But I'm able to now bring it down a notch and be like, whoa, you know, it's like, take a break. You're okay. You know, it's not happening yet. And I'm able to bring it up when I need to. So I should be okay. I mean, right now it's just excitement because I just arrived and probably, you know, a little overtired and stuff too. So there's lots to keep me distracted here.
Absolutely, and you know, that's the thing that people, you kind of hit a good point. You know, people don't realize, you know, when you get to these big shows and all the excitement, you know, all the PR, everything that's involved in it, you can kind of get yourself way ahead of the ball there and kind of, you know, almost have like an adrenaline dump before the event ever starts.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. Especially being here at the PAL headquarters and seeing all these amazing pictures on the walls and stuff, and it's gets the blood pumping.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, how exciting is that for you, man, being part of this organization now and competing? Like you said, you're at the PAL headquarters. Is that something that's super motivating you right now?
Absolutely, man. I mean, I've been doing this for years and years, and I've always wanted to be in this situation or at this level, you know, where I'm traveling around and and being, you know, in the mainstream television. I mean, this is going to be on CBS Sports, man. That's huge. I heard 50 some countries that's aired him, and then on top of that, they're doing a live feed over in Europe, so the guys in Europe can catch it. Unfortunately, it's not for us in North America, but yeah, I mean, it gets me. I feel really. I don't know. I feel great. I feel like I finally achieved what I wanted to achieve.
Now, take us through. When did you get the phone call from Igor to be a part of this great card?
Well, actually, I called him.
Okay.
Because I heard he was doing some matches and like doing some vendettas and stuff like that. And I know that a lot of the guys, WAL guys, have signed contracts and were able to. Igor actually never did call me because he thought I still was in a contract with PA or with
UAL.
My brain's fried right now.
Sorry.
UAL. But when we heard that I wasn't, he was eager to get me involved. Now initially, I was supposed to go and compete at in Poland at the tournament there.
Okay, you were going to do Nimrov.
No, not Nemiroff, Azalotti.
Azalotti, yeah, yep.
Just because he wanted to see where, you know, who to match me up with, because I haven't competed with a lot of the guys from Europe. So just so he could have some really good matches for Vendetta. But then I don't know if he had filled the spot or whatever. But so I'm doing this Vendetta now, and then I'm going to Poland next month.
Oh wow!
Azalotti. Yeah, it's huge.
Two huge events, man. That's awesome. Good for you, man. It's great for you to get that kind of experience over there as well. I mean, now, how did Herman Stevens get in the mix? Was he just someone that Igor had sitting there waiting for someone to pull, or?
Well, Igor has been interested in me in the past, but things just never lined up. Now that he's in a situation where, you know, he can pay for his athletes to come and be part of this, was good for me because I don't make a ton of money and I can't be traveling all over the world all the time. So he's made this possible for me.
Awesome. And Herman Stevens, you're competing against him. I mean, have you pulled against Herman before?
Yes, I did. UAL 9, I believe it was.
Okay.
We were in the finals together and. We had a good match. I mean, I came out the winner, but I think he got me once in fouls, and then I came back to beat him twice, I believe.
Okay, so yeah. How long have you had to prepare for this matchup?
It was kind of short notice. I think almost 2 months.
Okay.
Almost 2 months, a month and a half, 2 months, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Herman's definitely somebody that he's on my radar. I'm worried about him. I will not underestimate him. He's very strong. I've seen him beat lots of guys, big monsters, and so, you know, it could go either way. I mean, I remember after UAL 9, I was giving him pointers on some stuff that he could work on, which in hindsight, maybe I should have done that, but that's what the sport's all about, right? Making it better.
Yeah, absolutely. You always, you know, you want to beat a guy at his best, so, you know, no excuses there. And that's great that you do that stuff because, you know, it just shows how much of a true champion you are. So with this coming up, I mean, what did you change as far as your training? I mean, you know, when you get ready for a big super match, six rounds like this, I mean, is this something that you study Herman? I mean, you're familiar with him pulling him before. I mean, do you change your training up? I mean, how's Alan? How long get ready for this event?
Yeah, definitely amping up the training. I mean, I'm training with a really good team, the Ottawa Valley Highhawkers, right now. I don't make it out to see Devin as much anymore because the Ottawa Valley guys, you know, Evan Burgoyne and all his brothers and those guys, they're real close, so they're really good to train with. So yeah, I mean, amped it up. I'm doing that at least 2 days a week, and then hitting the gym another couple days a week, just for more recovery and blood flow stuff. And you know, if there's any muscles that need some extra work, I'd give her. But same old stuff. You know, I started searching for videos, couldn't find the video from our match between Herman and I. I know somebody took video. And I finally found it. I just wanted to see it and go over it in my head. You know, it's nice to have that, especially that it's a win, you know, have that in my head.
Mm-hmm.
See if I made any mistakes, you know, and where I should be going and stuff.
So how are you feeling, like, physically right now as this match, you know, we lead into the next few days here for the weekend? Are you basically, is this the best Allen Ford we're going to see here?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, I was having some issues with my elbow, but I feel great right now. I don't foresee any issues. You know, I did my sports therapy stuff and chiropractor and got it all worked out, and I feel really strong. I feel ready. I had a really nice long break, which always usually bugs me, you know, taking that long break and just not knowing where you're at in that moment, you know. But I just, you know, take confidence in that, knowing that break is going to only make me stronger and healed up.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Man, I just want to thank you, Alan, for taking the time out. Enjoy your time in Vegas, getting pumped up for Vendetta, man. I want to wish you the best of luck. We'll be cheering for you here in Florida, and we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thank you so much, Craig.
All right, guys, we'll be right back after this short break.
Armed Alliance is committed to producing powerful arm wrestling apparel to athletes around the world. Our mission is to represent the arm wrestling community with unmatched design, unique style, and superior fit that will set you apart from the crowd. Our shirts, made from next-generation cotton polyester, allows for maximum comfort and quality. We offer custom orders for hats, compression sleeves, team or individual shirts, and arm wrestling tables. Visit our site at www.armedallianceapparel.com and gear up today. Rep the movement. Armed Alliance for Life. Country Crush, baby. The handles are made of polymer plastic that sits freely over a shaft, causing a free spinning motion. The frame is constructed of a high-grade steel and made here in the USA. The handle, while you can work many different exercises, was designed to challenge your hand strength. Focusing on overall arm strength, adding a balance and stability to your workout. By adding rolling handles, the Country Crush allows the user to work many different movements. Not easily done by similar handles, and by closing your wrists off at the end of each movement, you work your wrist and strengthen it at the same time. Country Crush, baby. What are you waiting for? Get in the game. If you ain't training with the Country Crush, then you ain't training. Check out www.countrycrush.net now.
The Gully Grip is a free-rolling handle that inevitably causes more stability in your wrist than any other grip on the market.
It's also much more accessible to any cable system, allowing more progressive overloading movements,
producing a higher outcome in overall strength in not only your shoulder girdle, but also those muscle groups important for arm wrestling.
Visit GullyGrip.com.
That's G-U-L-L-E-Y Grip.com.
Apply your strength.
Right, guys, welcome back, and Alan seems like he's ready to rock this Saturday at Vendetta. And we're going to be really excited about that, and so I'm excited to see that event. How about you, Albert?
Yeah, he does seem like he's very focused and concentrated. It's his chance to, make an appearance in PAL and, overseas in Europe, like he says. This league is the most followed league in Europe. You know, although WAL gets recognition too, when Igor puts a show, it really turns the heads of the Europeans. And when you go to PAL's website, armpower.net, you're going to see the PAL ranking done by Engin Terzi, which is the most accepted ranking internationally, overall ranking, left-hand unlimited and right-hand unlimited classes. So it's a good chance for Americans to, increase their places on these rankings. From that perspective, it's also an important event as well. From a TV standpoint, of course, it's priceless again. Pushing the sport into another mainstream channel. What else can we say? Like I said, the arm wrestling is in the golden era right now, and we're we're really lucky to enjoy this, and hopefully it will get better after this point.
Absolutely. And CBS Sports, you know, another great network picking up this great sport. It's going to be exciting. But I think it's that time once again.
Arm Wrestling Nation Radio presents another episode of Arm Wrestling 101 with your host, Craig Sublier and Albert Kosar.
All right, tonight's topic, we're going to talk about, well, Albert's really going to talk about cardio and recovery because for me, cardio is like a Spanish word. So, but Albert, take it away. Explain to us about how cardio can either hinder or help our recovery in the sport of arm wrestling.
Well, cardio is one of the topics. Actually, I have the least amount of knowledge in arm wrestling training, so I had to dig some research as well myself. Also, personally, I'm lazy. I don't do much cardio, and I have to, you know, but I just don't, you know. And so it's one of those areas where I don't feel really like, really knowledgeable. So, you know, we'll just give it a shot and see what we get here. We'll just do some brainstorming. And so the main question is, do arm wrestlers need cardio? And that's where, you know, this whole thing started on this segment. We choose cardio because it's really, you know, unclear whether cardio is helpful, not helpful, do we need it, how much we need it, and so forth. But at first glance, the answer is no, because when you look at other strength sports, you know, actually cardio may hinder the strength performance at first glance, especially on the explosive sports. But, of course, we have to put things in perspective. Now, first thing first, what do we mean by cardio? Let's take a look at that. Cardio stands for cardiac development with aerobic training that utilizes low to moderate intensity for extended time periods. I'm going to read this one more time. It's a simple explanation, and it's important. I think it's hitting all the main areas. Cardio stands for cardiac development with aerobic training that utilizes low to moderate intensity for extended time periods. Now, this extended time period is usually from 20 minutes to 45 to 60 minutes. That's commonly accepted. It is designed to improve the function of the heart so that blood flow is improved, which will allow for more efficient use of oxygen in the blood. So that's why it's designed for. Cardio training is designed to improve the function of the heart so that the blood flow is improved, which in return will allow for more efficient use of oxygen in the blood. And remember, Devon Lerat was talking about this when he was our guest. He was a big, you know, believer on blood flow through the body, you know, pushing the blood to the muscles and so forth. So cardio is another way that you can do that. And also, Dave Shea asked a question of our topic tonight about the cardio on his Facebook page back in September 24. So, and there were several great answers on that post, by the way. So I would suggest our listeners to go back to Dave Shea's homepage, Facebook homepage, and just scroll down to September 24 and find that particular post of his. And maybe after this episode, he'll repost it for everyone to read, because there were some great different opinions from different arm wrestlers. So it's a very good read. And that's what actually triggered, you know, us to do this segment about cardio tonight. So thanks to Dave Shea and everybody that contributed to that beautiful post. Now, Craig, when we started these arm wrestling 101 segments, we stated that we're not professional trainers or physicians. So we can only do a brainstorming from an experienced arm wrestler's standpoint. And that's what we'll do tonight about cardio. Now, back to the question again. Do arm wrestlers need cardio as part of their training? Some say they should never do cardio, while others say it depends on the situation. Well, I say let's clarify the situation and make an assessment of an individual's need, of an arm wrestler's need. Let's say, let's look at these different scenarios. I was thinking about this, and a way to put this is just look at three different scenarios and see, you know, how we should approach this. Let's say an arm wrestler weighs more than 10% of his competing weight class, and his body fat ratio is not super lean. Then it seems like, yes, definitely on this case, cardio training will help with fat loss and make the weight, you know, easier if started in advance, of course, not the week of the tournament. We have some, you know, athletes that wait till the last minute, and sometimes I'm one of them too. You know, desperate attempts of doing high cardio in last week will diminish all your, you know, heart gained results. So don't do that, guys. So that's one scenario here. An arm wrestler weighing more than 10% of his competing weight class, his body fat ratio is not lean, then yes, he needs to incorporate cardio training somehow, some way earlier, you know, before the competition day comes. On the other hand, let's say we have an arm wrestler that is within his competing weight class or weighs within like 5% more of his competing weight class. So it's not a lot. He's still there. Then on this case, cardio is not needed, or it needs to be cut 2-3 weeks prior to the competition day. And why do I say that? We're going to talk about it, why we don't need cardio like 2 weeks prior, a week prior, or even 3 weeks prior on this particular scenario. However, on the preparation period, prior, you know, to 2-3 weeks of the tournament, cardio still can help with recovery. So unless intensity is high, it may benefit the athlete still. So that's the second scenario. Now let's look at a third scenario. Let's look at a super heavyweight arm wrestler who doesn't have to cut weight for arm wrestling event. On this case, most of the sport literature that I looked at on the explosive strength power sports, they state that cardio is not needed. At least cardio is not essential to the maximum strength output. So cardio is not recommended to this group. Again, especially, you know, 2-3 weeks out to an event, for sure it's not needed. So I gave you three different examples. You know, if you're an arm wrestler, you can think about your situation and then you can decide for yourself. We're not going to answer that question for you. Now, I know some listeners out there will say, you know, how can you say cardio is not needed? Well, I'm not saying cardio is not needed, actually. But at least 3-4 weeks out from a tournament, our bodies should be tailored towards arm wrestling only, towards arm wrestling explosive strength only. That's what I'm saying. Are you with me, Craig? I mean, do you agree on that last 2-3 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, you know, unless you're, like you were saying earlier, if you're trying to cut weight and stuff, but, you know, I just, there, for me, I mean, I'm going to let you finish your analogy and then I'll give you my personal opinion on it.
Right. And this changes, you know, person to person, of course. I'm just, you know, trying to make a general, you know, idea here of what an arm wrestler should think like. You know, they don't have to follow this. We're just putting it out there. Everybody has their own, you know, experiences, and everybody needs to follow their own bodies, you know, and see what they react better. So just because we're saying something here may not work out for someone. But in most cases, what I'm reading and what I'm gathering is going towards this direction. Now, let's look at cardio further in detail. Let's look at our sport further in detail from a cardio standpoint. Let's look at arm wrestling competition demands as one group here. Arm wrestling competition demands are, firstly, we have to do matches. We have to perform up to 6 to 9 maximal attempts, 6 to 9 matches in a tournament, right? We don't have like 20, 30 matches in a tournament. That doesn't happen even on big tournaments. You know, especially if you stay on the winner's bracket, within like 6 matches, you're in the finals. If you're in the losing, you know, loser's bracket, then in about 9-10 matches, you're back at the finals again. And this is on the big tournaments. Because on the smaller tournaments, this number is even less. So the arm wrestling competition demand is perform maximal attempt in 6-9 matches. That's the first one, main one. The second one on an arm wrestling competition demand is to recover after each match for the subsequent attempt, for the upcoming next match. You have to recover as fast as possible after each match. So we have another demand. Other than the first one that I stated, you know, where you have to put the maximal effort on each match, you also have to recover after each match. Now, a third demand is, you know, perform the above two that I explained over the course of 3 to 6 hours. Because unfortunately, arm wrestling events take that long. If there was a way to make it shorter, I would be so happy. But every event that I go to, you know, it takes about 6, 7, 8, 9 hours sometimes. You know, it's just, you know, so you have to somehow meet the first two demands during a 6, 7, 8 hour period. So now this is our competition demand for our sport. Okay, so let's keep this in mind. And I'm going to tie all this with cardio at the end. Now let's look at the training demands, arm wrestling training demands. The first one, the first arm wrestling training demand is you have to be able to train for 1 to 2 hours per training session, right? There is some of us that train longer than 2 hours per session, but typically an arm wrestler would train for an hour or two at most. So we have a training demand that we have to be able to train for 1 to 2 hours per session. Second training demand is that we have to perform maximal attempts in a single training session, right? All of us try to do that. We have maximum effort days where we really focus on that. So, you know, maximal attempt in a single training session is performed by an arm wrestler on the trainings. Thirdly, we have to perform multiple high rep sets or holds, again, in a single training session. These training sessions may be separated, of course. You know, on the conjugate method, it is separated. On split method, it's separated and so forth. But again, it is a training demand. So high rep sets and holds is a training demand on arm wrestling. Now, another training demand is, you know, of course, again, recovery between sets or matches, training table training time throughout the gym session or the table session. And then a general demand is, you know, that's a macro demand, is to recover from the previous training session for the upcoming training session. Now, these are the training demands. Now, there is a third leg here, a third variable as a demand, and that's physiology demand. And that is a little bit more scientific, but it is important. The first physiological demand is to utilize ATP, adenosine triphosphate, and creatine phosphate as fuel for performance on table and gym training. So what do we mean by this terminology? You know, when these are broken down during muscular contraction, a large amount of energy is released, and that's what we're after. That's why creatine monohydrate works so well, because it directly hits this area. There is actually creatine phosphate too, right, in the market. I never tried it. Did you try it?
What's that now?
The creatine phosphate.
Yes, I've used that. And okay, I like that product because it's easy on my stomach. Also, the creatine, same thing. I don't find it as bloated. As the monohydrate, but you know that's something that you gotta
right. And we're gonna talk about supplements on another segment, but you know, just a side note that I wanted to open up is that, you know, ATP and creatine phosphate, you know, does work better, or we can utilize those energy, you know, releasing better and more effectively when we use creatine monohydrate. But anyways, I don't want to get into that right now. So again, from a you know, physiology standpoint, we need to utilize oxygen to aid in the recovery of ATP between matches or sets in the gym. And then we also utilize oxygen to oxidize lactic acid, which can diminish our productivity. So I know it gets little, you know, I don't want to lose you guys, but stay with me. So we looked at three different demands for our sport: arm wrestling competition demands, arm wrestling training demands, and then physiological demands, ATP, creatine phosphate, and utilization of oxygen. These are the demands of our sport, so we need to know the demands of our sport to see how we can fit cardio. That was the whole point why I, you know, summarized these. Now, the body is always in aerobic state, but utilizes other fuel sources when energy intensity is very high or rest intervals are short, which is arm wrestling, you know, basically. So, again, going back to the ATP, creatine phosphate, our bodies, when we arm wrestle, we use, you know, ATP, creatine phosphate more than anything else as a fuel source. So what does this mean? You know, a good cardio development of an arm wrestler, you know, of course will help with the recovery between the matches or even within a single match, you know, endurance-wise. So having a base level of aerobic fitness can be highly beneficial for an arm wrestler. There is no doubt on that. You know, this can be understood by analyzing these competition demands, training demands, you know, along with the physiological concept that I stated a minute ago. However, of course, you know, randomly going out and doing an hour of cardio every day wouldn't be beneficial. So it still needs to be applied appropriately for our sport. Arm wrestlers aren't endurance athletes. We all know that. So we don't need endless amounts of cardio work. In my opinion, and I believe that you're going to agree with me, Craig, 2-3 sessions per week of 20 to 45 minutes per session is sufficient for an arm wrestler. And the best way to do is, you know, to monitor yourself, to wear a heart monitor to ensure that you're staying in the right range. And when I say right range, for most athletes, this range is 130 to 150. I sometimes, you know, do 120 to 150. But if your heart rate is, you know, reaching 150, 160, 170, then you're going too hard. You need to adjust it back down. And with most arm wrestlers, you know, our tendency is to go too hard since we're all alpha males. You know, we want to go, you know, as much as possible, as fast as possible, but it just doesn't help with the cardio that way. So keep in mind that going too hard with endurance cardio work is counterproductive to the goal of arm wrestling. And I believe you agree with me, right, on that question?
Absolutely.
Your cardio. Right, okay. So now I guess what can we do for 20, 45 minutes per cardio session is the next question. As a fellow arm wrestler, I have some suggestions. I'm not an expert again. You know, I may be wrong, so this is not, you know, this is not Bible here. Just some brainstorming again, and Craig, you can put your two cents into this as well.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is choosing an exercise that does not tire the arms. Because when we say cardio, guys, we're not meaning, you know, we don't mean what Todd Hutchings does with the hammers. That is something else. That is, you know, that's general capacity workload increase workouts. That's not cardio. When we say cardio here, we're talking about the regular term of cardio, where, you know, the treadmills and bikes and all that stuff is included. So I suggest choosing an exercise that does not tire your arms. Now, for example, rowing. You can sit down on a row machine and do 45 minutes of rowing if you want to, but that may actually overtrain your arms unless you adjust your arm training properly, of course. You know, if there's a week where you know, arm wrestled heavy and you're going to take it easy with the weights, you're not going to lift your maximal, you know, you're not going to do maximum effort, then maybe you can do rowing for, you know, 20 to 45 minutes. It may not hurt on that case. Actually, it may enhance the recovery from arm wrestling training. But again, these things have to be decided by the arm wrestler depending on what training cycle they're in. I also do not suggest exercises that lengthen the arm muscles, like swimming. Or at least don't do these type of cardio training more than once a week, because I know, like, Waskan does it, you know, once a week he goes there and he chooses a sport. I think, if I remember correctly, like he plays ping pong, I think that's what he said. You know, another week he may swim. You know, if you do it once a week, I guess it's not that bad. But, you know, if you incorporate like 2-3 times, then you're sending mixed messages to your muscles. And we don't want to do that as an arm master. You know, that's, again, my suggestion and my personal opinion. You know, I would limit these type of cardio training to once a week, or at least, you know, not right before a tournament. You know, if you're on off season, you know, you want to get in overall physical conditioning shape, then yes, you can, I guess, do these types, and then, you know, just gear up the training more towards arm wrestling on the upcoming months. So what can we do safely as cardio as an arm wrestler? You know, a few things come to my mind. Walking on a treadmill, and Craig, you did this, right? And when we talked about it, you suggested me doing this as well. You change the, you know, the incline, and you, you know, you don't stay on the same speed. You know, you kind of trick the body. And I do the same thing as well. I do it 20 to 40 minutes. And how does that work out for you?
I haven't done it since I cut weight. Like, I was kind of doing that, and that's kind of like, you know, the interval hit kind of training, and it wasn't super intense because, you know, I was doing like a 1 or 2 minute run, walking for 3 or 4 minutes when I was trying to cut weight. But to tell you the truth, I've been really, like you said earlier when we started the segment, I'm being kind of lazy as far as getting the cardio in that I should be doing. I just kind of wanted just to elaborate on what we were talking about. You know, quite obviously, you know, overall health. I mean, if we're talking about overall health, you know, we want to do stuff that helps the immune functions, overall health. You know, I prefer when I'm doing cardio, and I wanted to touch on this, is the time of cardio. I definitely suggest, unless you're doing a 5-minute warm-up, don't do cardio before any kind of weightlifting, any kind of training beforehand, because you do not want to use up any glycogen storages, especially, you know, any long periods of cardio. For me, we're talking about recovery. I'm a firm believer in low intensity, 20, 30 minutes, a light walk, like we were talking about earlier, just to get the blood flow, like Devin was saying, to get that, you know, more nutrients back into the system. You know, actually, after heavy weightlifting, I have found this in the past. If I do a light 20-minute walk, it actually will lower my blood pressure from, you know, intense lifting, because we know our blood pressure is a little higher as we're lifting heavy and more intense. So my goal is to keep, when I'm doing cardio, keep it short and really watch the intensity. Unless, and I don't want to get off track because we're really talking about recovery and cardio. You know, if it's fat loss, then maybe you do, you know, you do, you know, turn up the intensity. You do probably push the envelope a little bit with the endurance part of maybe 45 minutes to an hour, depending on what your weight loss goals are. But me personally, I'll get back to an example. When I talked to Dave Chaffee, we kind of laughed about this, but, you know, he'll go for a brisk 20-minute walk 3 to 4 times a week just to keep the blood flow going. So, you know, and that's what I believe, you know, just, you know, because I feel good when our heart is pumping good and we can get a lot of oxygen into our lungs, I feel amazing. And I mean, it's just going to be a plus for arm wrestling because you're going to be able to control your breathing better. I mean, it's a no win situation. It's just finding that fine line of not doing too much. Also, another way I find to get good cardio in, also with muscular endurance, is circuit training, using weights in between your rest periods. Instead of taking a rest, continue on exercising, nonstop sets. I'm not talking about lots of heavy weights, but, you know, doing exercise repetitively really spikes your heart rate up, and, you know, you can get a good cardio workout that way. But if you switch them up, like you were talking earlier, with Vasquez doing swimming, maybe playing ping pong, basketball, whatever it is, doing different exercises or different cardio I think is great because you're stimulating your mind and your body gets a shock from doing different things. Now, I'm not talking about going out and playing an intense basketball game, but, you know, whatever. If it's riding a bike one day, walking on the beach the next, rowing machine, elliptical, swimming, skipping rope, whatever it is, as long as you're not overdoing it and getting into, you know, talking about more of a recovery, that you're recovering from cardio, then there's an issue. But getting back to talking about the interval training, I think that harmed me because I was doing too much intensity trying to get the fat off, you know, getting that weight dropped, and it bit me. So this time around, I would just use it for recovery, and I'd really rely on my diet, but I don't want to get off track of, you know, our topic. And maybe one day we can talk about, you know, using cardio as far as fat loss.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, if an arm wrestler needs cardio, you know, desperately to make weight, then there's something wrong in the game plan.
Yeah.
You know, the diet has to be adjusted.
That was me.
And that, well, I mean, it happens to all of us, Greg.
Well, that's like you said. I mean, it's like not planning out ahead enough, you know what I mean, and thinking that you can drop.
And that was the point that I was trying to make. You know, I think if you wait, you know, if you keep your cardio work, you know, 2 weeks out from a tournament day, a week from a tournament day, I think it's not beneficial. At that point, I think it hurts. It's counterproductive. That is at least what the data tells me when I do the research about the strength sports. So all these Olympic weightlifters, you know, power lifters, the other explosive sport athletes, they all cut cardio, you know, 2 weeks out at least. To gear up, you know, just for that particular sports event. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, I'm not saying everybody needs to do that, but give it a shot, you know, see what happens. If that mentality is going to make us more proactive about our annual game plan, you know, maybe we'll do cardio more on the off season, you know, and then, you know, gradually decrease it as we get closer to the competition day, you know, while managing our weight class. Then that is the best of the both worlds, I guess. Now, you know, without getting too much lost, I want to wrap it up real quick. You know, we were talking about the safe methods of cardio for an arm wrestler: walking on a treadmill, playing with the, you know, incline on it. You know, make sure the intensity is low still, though. That's the key. Intensity being low is the key here, guys. Now, you can play around with, you know, burning more calories by wearing a weight vest, perhaps. You know, if you want to wear a weight vest, that may help while walking, you know, burning more calories. And you can still keep the intensity low that way. You can also, you know, walk stadium steps. If you don't have an access to a stadium nearby, then you can use a stepper machine. But I find it better when I actually climb through the regular stadium steps. The key here is to watch your heart rate. Again, if it goes over 180, 160, you know, then it is, you know, the intensity is too high. You have to, you know, slow down a little bit. I guess there's other ways to do cardio as well. You can do farmer's walk, you know, lower body shed dragging and stuff like that. But again, those are they're crossing over with the general capacity workout, so I don't want to focus on those. I want to talk about that stuff, you know, increasing general capacity, you know, of an athlete's body. And that's a completely different segment. Back to, you know, what arm wrestlers can do as cardio, stationary bike or a regular bike, you know, on that wise. That is going to help you burn some extra calories. It's not going to tire your arms, and it will give you the cardio benefits still. It's a low-impact sport, biking, so it's good on the knees, too. I wouldn't suggest running for an arm wrestler. I don't know what you think about running, Craig.
I'm not a runner.
It can be counterproductive. Yeah, so this is our 2 cents, of course, guys. You know, if you're a lightweight, you feel like you can run 3 times without affecting your performance and still gain strength on the table, by all means, do it, I guess. But generally speaking, you know, running and, you know, high-impact cardio does not help us. So, to wrap the segment, cardio is beneficial for arm wrestler from a recovery standpoint, from a body fat level control standpoint, from an energy standpoint, And also, like you said, Craig, it improves the immune system, reduces cortisol levels, and a bunch of other health benefits, of course, mm-hmm. that comes with it. Again, the most important thing that we need to think about cardio in arm wrestling is to know to adjust the intensity level and know to back off prior to the tournament date. Mm-hmm. This is what I have about cardio. If you want to add something else on it, feel free. Again,
no, it was,
it's not one of the areas that I feel like I'm really expert on.
Well,
but,
you know, it's a fine line there, like you said, because sometimes, you know, as a power sport athlete, is a fine line where you can do too much. So, I mean, from like we said earlier, you know, low intensity, you know, a good rule of thumb, 60 to 70% of your target heart rate. You want to figure out that it's 220, subtract your age, times the percentage, get your target heart rate, you know, and that's going to help you kind of see where you need to be as far as the intensity level. You know, you don't want to do too much because you don't want to get into your recovery. But, you know, like we said earlier, you know, getting rid of the lactic acid, you know, getting your blood flow, any of those things are going to definitely help improve your performance. Albert brought up a good point. Dave Shea, big shout out to him. He brought up this topic. I found it. I shared it on my Facebook. So if you want to go to Craig Subelaire Facebook,
perfect.
Check it out. Just click the date. And you'll see all the other everybody else's response to that. And hey, guys, if you have any topics you like us to, you know, go over with Arm Wrestling 101, you know, hit us up. Either hit Albert up with a message on Facebook, hit me up, message us on the like page if you want. And sometimes, like Albert does, and he's really good with that, going through people's Facebooks and seeing great. You know, great topics. And I think another great topic you brought up the other day was distractions at the gym when you're training. You know, you had a good point where, you know, and I think that's a great, great, great topic because you don't want to be, come across as an ass, but you're trying to train. How do people deal with, you know, distractions at the gym without being an ass, you know?
You should have been there, Craig. I mean, I was doing 90 pounds, one-arm preacher curl, you know, one-arm 90-pound preacher girl, okay? And I weigh 210. And this guy comes to me and he says, you know, oh, because he sees my T-shirt that says arm wrestling at the back. And right after I complete, you know, like 8-9 reps with the 90 pounds, he comes to me and says, oh, arm wrestling, it's all technique, right? I mean, I am just doing a huge weight for a bodybuilder or for a, you know, a regular
whatever,
goal with one arm,
that.
And he's telling me that it's all technique. I wanted to take that 90 pounds and throw it to his head. Well, right. Anyhow, but
anyway,
yeah, it does get, you know, I mean, I try to be polite, of course. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to show arm wrestlers as, you know, barbaric, you know, people.
You're the last
it's really
bad, Albert, so... That's good.
Yeah. Well, anyhow.
All right.
Well,
we're going
to Corey
we're
is next,
up.
I guess, right?
Yep. We're going to wrap this up, and we'll be right back with Corey Miller.
The topics and views we discuss on this show is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not intended as medical advice. We are not medical professionals, and the information contained in this show should not be used to diagnose, treat, or prevent any disease or health illness. Please consult with a qualified healthcare professional before acting on any information presented here. Any statements or claims about the possible health benefits conferred by any foods or supplements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Once again, thank you for listening to Arm Wrestling 101. We will be back next week for another exciting and informative episode of
Arm Wrestling 101.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. I want to welcome our first guest of the evening, no stranger to Arm Wrestling Nation Radio, Corey the Flash Miller. What's up, Corey, man? How you doing?
Just hanging in there, man. What's going on over there?
Not much, brother. Just another noisy bike week, Oktoberfest here in Florida. So we're just trying to stay out of the traffic and not run over any bikes. So, man, I haven't talked to you in a little while. I know things have been kind of quiet. What's been going on with you, man? How's everything going? How's training? We got Vendetta 44 coming up, Arm Fight 44, October 24th, Las Vegas. What's been going on with you as far as training and, you know, like life, man? What's up, brother?
Well, I guess we can start at the beginning. So I had to drop out of that match at the UAL because of a leg injury that I suffered during a softball game. I'm a pitcher for a softball league in town here, and I got hit with a ball on my right leg, and then it bounced over to my left leg. Didn't think nothing of it. It hurt like hell, but I didn't think nothing of it. And it was probably, I don't know, a week or two later that it started getting bad, like hurting really bad. So I ended up going to the hospital and found out that I had a hematoma on the side of my left calf.
Wow.
And anyone who doesn't know what a hematoma is, that's basically like a blood clot in your muscle. So,
not good.
Bad thing about that is I had to fly within 2 weeks of after doing that because of going to pull, I was supposed to pull Aguardo, and they don't recommend you flying because when you go up and the air pressure changes, it can release the blood clot and I could basically die. So that's why I had to get out of that match. Funny part about that is like the 4 days before I was supposed to go, the blood clot actually broke loose and I had to end up going to the ER anyways.
Damn, dude.
But yeah, so that pretty much sucked. Then not even a month later, playing softball again, I broke my ankle sliding into second base.
Baseball's a rough sport, man.
I think I'm retiring.
Yeah, I was gonna say, man, that's a rough sport you're going through there.
Yeah, we played Division II, so we're pretty high up there. But after breaking my ankle, I think I'm done. But
how's the ankle now? Is it healed?
Yeah, it took. I still feel the pain. Actually, it's still broken, technically speaking. The bone fragment is still in the side of my ankle, and they don't want to go in and remove it because of the potential for it not to heal and all that kind of stuff. So I've been dealing with pain in my foot for, well, since I did it, which was, 2-3 months ago.
Okay.
But, so I have been out of, like, actual arm wrestling training for 4 months, but the whole time I broke my ankle and the whole time I had the hematoma, I was at the gym every single day.
Okay, so training.
Which is unusual for me because I don't usually go to the gym and just sit there and lift all the time. I went to the gym with my boot on half the time when my leg was broken. Mm-hmm. So, so I've been doing a lot of lifting, but I'd say this last 3-4 weeks now is where I've been really actually getting time to practice and pull. I went to North Carolina, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago,
uh-huh.
For a training thing for work, and got to pull with Rick Layton and a whole bunch of other guys down there in North Carolina. And that was fun. It's been a long time since I've seen those guys, and felt pretty good at the practice, and it's hard to judge a practice anyways, but
I was just going to ask you, how is the gym training kind of turning over to the table now? Is you notice an improvement in anything?
My personal opinion, I know you're going to probably say something different, but my personal opinion is I feel stronger when all I do is arm wrestle.
I got you.
Than when I do go to the gym all the time.
So do you feel a little rusty since you haven't been able to practice in those 4 months? I mean, when you went to Carolinas to practice?
The one in North Carolina was probably the first time I've been in like a full legitimate practice since I broke my leg. I pulled off and on with a couple other people, just one or two people here and there, but like a full practice, yeah, that was the first time in, you know, 2 or 3 months that I've done anything.
And did you feel rusty at all, or how was your performance, do you think, on a scale 1 to 10?
I'd say I was maybe a 7.
Okay.
Yeah, not super great, but felt okay. Weird issues, you know. Left arm feels weird sometimes. I don't know, my left's kind of dumb like that. It'll be super strong in certain ways and not super strong in other ways.
Now, you know, you got next, you know, coming up real quick here on the 24th, you got a big match with Vaskins. I mean, how do you feel going into this matchup with him? Do you feel prepared? I mean, you know, you haven't really been able to get the table time in, but, you know, how do you feel? What's your mindset going into this matchup?
Well, I told Igor when I got into this match that I needed to know way in advance if I was going to be able to do this or not. And because of the weight loss factor that I had to do, I was getting really heavy because I wasn't able to run or anything, and I was just going to the gym and eating a whole bunch.
How heavy did you get? Before you tell our listeners how heavy you got.
I got up to about 182.
Okay, well, that's a big weight for you.
Yeah, that was heavy. I was. I'd say it was easily 5-6 pounds of blubber, but you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's too much for me. If it would have been muscle, it would have been a different story. But I knew I could lose, you know, 5-6 pounds and then have to cut a lot more. But the match with Vaskin, concerning the weight they wanted me to pull, I had to know a long ways in advance to know if I was going to be able to do it or not. And, so I've been dieting very consistently for the last 2 months, basically, even though I've had that broken leg and stuff, because I can't run. So coming into this match, I would say that I am fairly confident in my abilities, but my biggest focus has been strictly on losing weight and getting in shape, you know, physically ready for the match.
Do you feel confident going into the matchup?
As far as styles go and the matchup in general, I feel very good about my odds and what I can and cannot do against Vaskin. It's been like 5-6 years since we've ever pulled.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially at the same weight. So that will be a big factor there too. And the last time we pulled, I won. It was at the AAA Nationals, but we haven't pulled since. Because I jumped out weight class and stuff. But, to be totally honest, I'm more concerned at the weight than I am who it is I'm pulling. I know Vaskin is good and all, but I'm more concerned about my trying to make the weight because I haven't done it in so long, you know.
So you're, like, what are you, about 10 pounds off weight right now?
About 8-9 pounds, yeah.
Okay, so that's a... You know, I mean, you'll cut that. I mean, the cardio, but, I mean, you know, that's a pretty, I think, an easy cut for you. You know, I think you can do that pretty easily just to maintain your strength, which, you know, I'm sure you know what you're doing as far as that goes, minus the cardio. You know, not being able to train and get the table time, is psychologically, does that play a factor into Corey Miller's prep for this big matchup? I mean, you know, we had Vaz on the show, last week. He, you know, utmost respect for you. Both of you guys are really respectful for each other. You know, it's not like one of these trash-talking matchups. But, you know, since you've been kind of on the shelf a little bit, not being able to be a part of some of these, you know, major events that have been going on, I mean, do you feel like that's a negative for you, you know?
Yeah, I mean... As far as how my arm feels and the arm missing ways, I would say that I don't feel 100% in that aspect, but maybe it's rust or whatever you want to call it, but I think overall As soon as I get going, mm-hmm. it comes right back, you know, like just like everything else.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, no.
Yeah, not being able to do anything has hindered some things on me, especially with my left hand. My left hand is all over the place right now.
Yeah, you guys are pulling but, right now, right?
So which yeah, we're only pulling right,
yeah.
Which is good. But
I'm sure you'll be able to hold the peg. So,
yeah.
But you know, it's funny though. Like, I mean, in reality, in a perfect world, I mean, would this match be better?
There is no.
I know. There's no perfect world. I know. But would this match be like set up a little bit better for you if it was like November 24th to give yourself a little more time? I mean, not making excuses, but. You know, in the world of arm wrestling, it's hard to be 100% all the time. But, you know, where you're coming off an injury, not being able to get the table time, would you feel a lot better if it was like a month from now?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'd probably feel a lot better about the situation. But, you know, it is what it is. And I've had about 2 months to do what I can to get in shape.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said in the beginning, I've been just so focused on losing the weight that I haven't had enough time to pull with people other than I pulled in North Carolina, I pulled last weekend in New Mexico, and then little here's and there practices. But
now, let's step back a little bit. I mean, you know, a lot's been going on in arm wrestling. You know, you've kind of missed out on a little bit of the WAL action, you know, hanging out with UAL. Injury, you know, whatever, kind of on the shelf anyway, because there was really nothing going on much with the UAL. Now you're getting healthier. Got a big matchup, of course, not overlooking Baz on the 24th. And then, boom, we got a bunch of stuff going on. UAL, everybody I talk to, you know, that 165 class, they're saying Corey Miller needs to be in there. What's your whole take on, you know, the WAL, the 165 class, the $20,000, you know, each arm? I mean, are you going to be a part of that this year?
I'm qualified as of right now.
Okay.
So I'm qualified both hands. My plan is to go as far as I can with the TV stuff, but I don't know, you know, how far I can actually go with being in PAL and all that kind of stuff.
All right, so now
I have talked to Travis about this, and
mm-hmm.
and there's a possibility that I can still pull 90% of the way up to whatever. There's just going to be some stipulations on certain things, you know.
So your main focus right now is with the PAL, basically.
Yeah, I mean, Igor contacted me long before WAL was even, you know, started.
Yeah.
And even when I was, you know, talking with, or still with UAL, they actually, this match actually was offered to me when I was at UAL, and then I couldn't do it because of UAL, so Chris Gavi took it. So I was actually supposed to pull on him that time, but... my focus right now is the PAL one, but like I said, I still have the opportunity to pull in the WAL one. It's just to what extent is stuff.
Yep. Now, are you a fan of this six round, you know, Superman style versus the tournament events?
Honestly, I'd rather pull a tournament.
Okay.
But that's just because I like to have the ability to, you know, attack different people different ways and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I'm pulling the same person multiple times, I can if you figure you out or something, then you can be in trouble faster. But someone like Baskin, who only has basically one style, will make it a little bit easier for doing that, but...
And do you find, like, being familiar with him anyway, because you guys pulled, even though it's been 5 years, you kind of know his style is...
Yeah.
...obviously a power hook guy. I mean, do you feel that, you know, that's an advantage for you going into this match?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I know Vazgen's style very well. I used to train for it all the time, and, you know, I'm not scared to go inside with him like I was maybe in the past. Mm-hmm. So, honestly, I could care less where the match goes. If he goes inside, it goes outside, doesn't matter. I'm not worried, which in the past I was, because, you know, everyone knew that he was super strong inside and he didn't want to go there.
Yeah, most definitely. And a lot has changed in 5 years, I'm sure, with both of you guys. So it's going to be an exciting matchup. You know, with CBS covering it, too, I mean, you got to be excited to finally get some television. I mean, I know you were promised that, you know, numerous times with the UAL, but now it's actually a reality because the last Armed Fighter, Vendetta, was on CBS. Great production. I mean, how do you feel going into this with the exposure you're finally going to get?
Yeah, I'm super excited about that part. You know, from day one with UAL, that's all I ever really cared about was being on TV. You know, the money thing is here nor there, but I mean, it's always good to make money. But the TV is where, you know, in the long run, that's what's going to get me a sponsor. That's what's going to get me more money. You don't make, like UFC fighters, they don't make money. A lot of money from Dana White. They make money from Reebok and everyone else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where the goal is. You know, the end goal is, can I land something that would potentially be a good sponsor for a long period of time and be able to afford to do anything I wanted. So
do you think that's possible with this, you know, the situation with TV, with, you know, with not only PAL being on TV, but with Wall being on ESPN, it gives a lot of exposure out there. We've seen Devin on Sports Nation, and, you know, video that went viral with, you know, beating one of the stars of, I forget the show, but anyway, you know, all that exposure, it's got to be a plus for everybody out there.
Yeah, I feel like Devin's going about it the right way, and getting himself out there and, you know, stuff like that, which all started just because of one little Wall tournament, you know, mm-hmm. It got on TV. But, you know, the CBS Sports could be the exact same thing for all of us, but in a slightly different manner.
Yep.
I'd say, well, or CBS Sports, the PAL in general is going to be, I don't want to use the term, but I guess it's the best one, is more, you know, traditional / professional aspect of arm wrestling, where Wall is a little bit more in-your-face kind of stuff like that.
And I kind of think, too, with the Supermatch setup, it kind of slows down the event for the public to watch two guys going at it, kind of get a background, and then, you know, because it's totally different from Wall, you know, so, I think Wall has its, you know, great points, too, but, like, with the, you know, Vendettas, it's like one-on-one combat. You know, you're not going to get confused. You get to know the fighters, the arm wrestlers out there. And I think for the public aspect of it, that's not really, you know, don't know the sport of arm wrestling, I think it's an easy follow for them.
Yeah, I think that aspect, being one-on-one, being able to interview the people, going into their background, you know, all that kind of stuff allows you to learn more about arm wrestling. Maybe it might not be as fast-paced and exciting matches because you don't have as many matches. But it allows you to learn more about the sport and catch on faster, basically, rather than Wall, where, yeah, I've seen these guys, but do I know who they are? Or, you know, they didn't make the top four. Do I even, you know, have a clue what they are?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then, you know, it gives two aspects of arm wrestling, which I think is great for the networks out there. You know, you got a tournament set up with the WAL, and then you got the one-on-one combat with CBS Sports, you know, and I think that's awesome to get that exposure for the sport. You know, it's a double wham. You know, you can't lose with getting, you know, major networking out there and getting to see these guys for what it's worth, training, and really showing the public out there, not the arm wrestling community, because we're going to watch it no matter what because we love the sport, but the guys out there that are in the gym training, and they're like, wow, you know what? I never knew that, you know, a guy at 160, 170, you know, could train and lift that amount of weight and, you know, and train hard like that, and it just gives you another perspective to the athleticism with arm wrestling.
Yeah. you know, just like you said, it's, no one knows that part of the pharmacy. And they only assume, oh, you're just pushing some guy's hand down, and it's just you're in the bars just doing this shit. And it's not like that at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. You're not drinking oil. It's not over the top. It's a serious sport here, guys. So it's like, you know, people are finally getting to see that. You know, I have a lot of guys that have watched, you know, some of the stuff on ESPN and CBS Sports, and, you know, they come up and go, wow, I can't believe these guys train real hard and they take this seriously. I just thought, like you said, it was just a bar sport, but now people are getting to really respect it. You're seeing the numbers flow a little more with the novice guys coming out, and, you know, the tournaments are blowing up. You know, it's another 50 to 100 different competitors coming out just to try the sport. And that's just amazing to see the numbers, you know, getting up there. And I'm sure you're seeing a lot of different things, you know, with practices and people getting, you know, more interested in the sport too. So, I mean, that's just amazing. But before I let you go, man, I got to ask you, any predictions in this match coming up here on October 24th?
For me and Vezgin?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go on a conservative level and say 4-2.
Okay. 4-2.
Only because I think two matches I will try to do something that I probably shouldn't, and then maybe get myself into a bad situation. But,
I got you.
You know, I don't plan to smash them six times in a row because, well, number one, no one wants to see that, and number two, I want to test myself a little bit since it is only six matches.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after this match, I told Igor that I would not like to pull lightweights anymore. I'd like to jump to the 71 class.
Okay.
So there's a potential for after this match, you know, however it goes, it doesn't matter, that I will be in the heavier weight class, which is more what I would like to be in.
Is there someone in that class you'd like to pull?
Like overseas wise?
Well, just like if Igor, you know, any of the top guys that you can see coming in PAL at that weight class, anybody that, you know, might be on the top of your hit list?
Well, I mean, your number one guy left-handed is that Ole kid, which no 71-pounder is going to be him. But right-handed, you know, honestly, I'd love to pull anyone overseas.
Okay.
Honestly, I'd rather, you know, I'd like to just go to the Lottie in general, and that's kind of one of the whole reasons I got into doing the PAL stuff, because the Lottie, and, you know, the Lottie's one of my, you know, I'd say, like, bucket list type things to be able to do. So
are we going to see it this year, Corey, over at Nimroff, or is it going to be next year, maybe?
I don't know if I can make it happen this year just because of work schedule and stuff, but if I get invited to it, because I think you have to be invited.
I'm sure you're going to be invited. I mean, that's no doubt about it. I'm sure, especially after this performance here on.
Yeah, if I can get invited from Igor or whatever, then I would definitely do whatever it takes to get there and do well. I mean, I'm not really sure who else is at. If anyone's, maybe Zoloff or whatever, but yeah, I mean, me at 171 pounds, super trained up, or dropping to 171 pounds is, in my opinion, if I'm doing the same weights I was doing at the gym and training with that, is a scary guy.
No, absolutely.
I was getting, as far as gym-wise, I was getting super strong. I was curling more than I've ever curled, and rowed more than I've ever rowed, and deadlifted more than I've ever deadlifted. So hopefully that's what will happen here soon.
Well, that's good, man, and that's good to see you wanting to go overseas. We were talking about that on the last show with Bob Brown and Vasquez about, you know, sort of that whole world championship dying out for the Americans. We, you know, not getting that team that we need to get over there, you know, the best guys in North America, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, these guys from Ukraine and, you know, Pakistan, and, you know, the government's paying for those guys to get over there and train, and it's just like their teams are getting better and better. But, you know, as the American team not being able to take over the best of the best in each weight class, so it's good to hear that you're motivated to get over there and, you know,
test yourself against the greatest arm wrestlers overseas and in my opinion on the planet, you know what I mean? Because we have a lot of great North American pullers here in WAL and PAL and, you know, all these different federations, but, you know, to get over there and test yourself in those waters, I think that's, you know, where it's at as far as the prestige goes.
Well, the styles of arm wrestling are totally different when you go to Worlds versus, you know, North America.
Yep.
They just pull different, there's different strengths all together. I remember, you know, going to Worlds, I've been to Worlds twice now, and each time I've ever gone, I'm always, you know, kind of impressed in what certain countries are able to do versus others. You know, it's just naturally they're stronger in certain areas or they do certain moves or whatever. And it's kind of consistent with the countries you go to. So, there's no way to know if you're the best unless you pull the best people. And you're not going to do that pulling wall, even though there is really good overseas guys on there, but that's not everybody.
Absolutely. Well, Corey, I want to wish you the best of luck, man. Thanks for stopping by the show once again, and wish you the best of luck coming up on the 24th, brother.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, guys, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Ryan J. Pitts from StrongerGrip.com. I'm known as the mad scientist of metal from all the metal creations I've made over the last 25 years. The World Arm Wrestling League Championship hammers are one of those creations. I'm passionate about strength and metal. I'm a mad scientist on a mission to bring strength seekers high-quality, old-school crafted strength gear that will last a lifetime. In the Stronger Grip store, you'll find loads of grip gear, sledgehammers, clubs, and maces. Custom work can also be done. Check out Ryan J. Pitts on Facebook and also the Facebook Stronger Grip page. With Stronger Grip, there's no gimmicks, no bullshit, just handcrafted strength gear. Get the gear, do the work. StrongerGrip.com.
Prepare for the battle of your life. Bring your A game and tune your weapons with the Wrist Wrench. The Wrist Wrench is a weightlifting pulley handle designed by and for arm wrestlers. It helps develop and strengthen the hand, wrist, and forearm. Crank up your power with the Wrist Wrench. Visit thewristwrench.com today. That's www.thewristwrench.com.
Well, guys, welcome back, and I just want to thank you guys for tuning in to another great episode of Arm Wrestling Nation Radio. Great interviews with Alan Ford, Corey Miller. Want to wish those guys the best of luck. Hopefully next week, it's not 100% confirmed, but Herman Stevens might be on the show. So, guys, once again, thank you for tuning in to Arm Wrestling Nation Radio. On behalf of Albert Kozar, I'm Craig Subalair, and I'm out of here.
You have been listening to a broadcast of Arm Wrestling Nation Radio. If you tuned in halfway through the show, you can download the entire episode on iTunes today. Just go to iTunes and search Arm Wrestling Nation Radio. Visit us on Facebook for updates, photos, and direct links to the show at awnr.us. Arm Wrestling Nation Radio, we'll put you
over the top.